adversity these days. You've got some kind of trial or some kind of difficulty that maybe you are facing this very moment. The fact is, we all go through troublesome trials. We all have our setbacks and challenges in life. And maybe today you are going through something. I want to encourage you today. This is a message God birthed out of my heart from the experience of going to the mission field, namely Trinidad, just a couple of weeks ago. There was certainly some adversity. And the Lord birthed on my heart a message entitled, Adversity Turned into Victory. That's the title of the message today. Adversity Turned into Victory. Maybe today you've got a adversity such as debt. You say, well, am I ever going to get out of debt? I owe. So off to work I go. Maybe you've got a situation where your teenagers or your children, you're wondering, are they ever going to grow up? Are they ever going to become responsible? Are they ever going to become self-dependent? Maybe today you've got a job and your job is just not going the way you want it to go. Maybe you don't have a job and maybe you want a job, or you're asking God for a door of opportunity. It could be today that you are a senior adult and you're facing these challenges in life. Later in life, you can't do what you once could do. One man said that when he woke up in the morning, he thought he was dead. They said, why did you think he was dead? He said, because nothing hurt when I woke up in the morning. I thought I was dead. Maybe you're going through the middle age of your life. You're a middle-aged man. You know, they say middle age, older men look backwards, younger men look forward, and middle-aged men look terrible. Amen? They say, you know, you're going through middle age when you stop growing this way and you start growing this way. I don't know about that, but they do say that middle age is when your hair goes through three stages, parted, unparted, and departed. Can I get an amen? Maybe you're going through some other kind of situation where you're not reaching your goals. You thought that you'd reach some goals, but for some reason or another right now in your life, you've not seemingly achieved those goals. We all face adversity, and if you're not in a situation of adversity at the present time, hold on, because you might be tomorrow. I mean, adversity comes to all of us. And so I want to share with you today, as God helps and the Spirit of God encourages your heart, adversity turned into victory. I heard about a man that went to the doctor, and the doctor, speaking of adversity, said, I'll call you, sir, and tell you your prognosis and diagnosis. Well, the doctor called and said, sir, I've got terrible news. I got bad news. The man said, what is it? He said, you got 48 hours to live. The man said, wow, boy, that's just, I can't believe. And then the doctor said, I got worse news than that. He said, the man said, what in the world could be worse knowing you got 48 hours to live? The doctor said, we tried to call you yesterday to tell you the news. Anyway, I don't know about that, but I know this. If you'll take your Bibles, we're going to see there are three learning lessons. There are three steps, if you will, that you can today turn your adversity into victory. Turning our adversity into victory. Let me just go ahead and give you the three lessons as we look in this wonderful account of those scriptures. And I believe God is going to bless you today. I'm trusting Him to bless you today. I'm asking Him to bless you today. Number one, adversity. This matter of adversity. Number one, beware of adversity with expectancy. We'll see that in a moment. Beware of adversity with expectancy. There's a second learning lesson we'll see very clearly in the scriptures today. It's not only beware of adversity with expectancy, but in a moment we'll move a little further into this chapter I'll give you in a moment. And it's this: be determined in adversity with consistency. Be determined in adversity with consistency. Or if you will, be determined in adversity by being perseveringly. And then there's a third learning lesson. There's a third step that you can turn your adversity into victory today. And it's this, number three, be glad in adversity because of your testimony. Be glad of adversity because of your testimony. Having said that, I want you to take a copy of the Word of God and look with me, please, in the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. Turn, please, to chapter 26 in the book of Genesis. And if you would, stand together as we read this wonderful account in the living Word of God. Genesis chapter number 26. Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to pick up in verse number 12. Verse 12. And we'll fill in the blanks as you turn to Genesis chapter 26. By the way of introduction, you'll note that this account in the scriptures is about a man by the name of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. And Isaac has a wife named Rebekah. And Isaac is going through a time of adversity. But he turned it from adversity into victory, something you can do today. And I'm praying God will help us to trust him today like never before. In Genesis chapter 26, let me just summarize, if I could, verses 1 through 12. There's a famine, there's a faith, and then there's a family. There's a famine. It just so happens that another famine strikes the land. Isaac is in the promised land where God had promised Abraham, his father. And yet a famine occurs. How many know that sometimes God allows famines in our life to get us in the center of his will? He allows us to go through adversity that we might learn to exercise and watch him win the victory. So there's a famine in the land. However, in this famine, God said to Abram, he said, do not go down into Egypt. There's a king we're going to learn about today in a Philistine. He's a Philistine king. That is, his name is Abimelech. Let's say that name together. Abimelech. One more time. Abimelech. And there's a certain place that God tells Isaac to go. It's called Gerar. Gerar. Let's say that together. Gerar. Say it again. Gerar. And this is described in verses 1 through verse 11. There's a famine. And then there's a faith. God says to Isaac, I'm going to bless you, but do not go down to Egypt. How many believe it's important to obey the Lord these days? How many believe it's important to be led by God these days? I'm glad, thanks be to God, when we obey God, God always blesses obedience. And so we pick up in this particular account in the scriptures, from a famine to a faith. Isaac obeys the Lord, and then we're going to see his family, Rebekah, as he lied about her. This particular king named Abimelech and some of his men in the Philistine area ask and they inquire about Isaac's wife. Why? Because evidently she was fair to look upon. Other translations say she was a beautiful woman, a beauty queen, as we would say today. And yet, when they ask about Isaac's wife, he lied about it and said, she's my sister. Sounds like father, like son, does it not? Abraham did the same thing. And yet, Abimelech is looking out a window and he sees Isaac sporting the King James terminology. Other translation says he saw Isaac caressing his wife. And so Abimelech understood and recognized that she was not just his sister, rather she was his wife. We pick up in verse 12 from there. If you're in verse 12, say amen. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Let's say that together. And the Lord blessed him. One more time. And the Lord blessed him. How many want God to bless you these days? Come on, talk to me. Everybody wants God to bless them. Look at verse 13. And the man waxed great, namely Isaac. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines, notice, envied him, underline that. The Philistines were jealous of Isaac. Now look at verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped them and filled them with the earth. That is, they dug up dirt and filled up the wells with dirt. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's servants and Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. Get the picture now. And for they had strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. Let's say that together. Rehoboth. One more time. Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Remember, God made a covenant called the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham. A personal promise, a national promise, and a universal promise. Keep reading verse number 25. And notice what Isaac did. He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. That word Lord is the word Yahweh. It's also Jehovah over in verse 2. A personal God. A relationship with God. Not just Elohim, a mighty supreme God, but a God in whom we can know. Notice again verse 25. He built an altar and there called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Philicol, the chief captain of his army. Here, get the picture. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me, and you have sent me away? And they said unto him, we saw, notice verse 28, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. And thou, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee and have not done unto thee nothing but good and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Verse 30. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart today in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your infallible, inerrant, unbreakable, eternal word. Oh God, speak and work in our hearts today. Lord, give us eyes to see our situation. And God, help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to have wisdom and revelation that, Lord, will apply the truth of your word. We'll not only hear it, but do it, our dear God, and that you'll get victory. Lord, I'm convinced you put it on my heart. There are a lot of us today that are going through adversity, but thank you, Jesus, you are the victor. You are the conquering king, and we ask now for releasing of your power, a restraining of the work of Satan. God, I pray that heavy burdens will be lifted today, and that, Father, strongholds will be broken, and, Father, in the name of Jesus, there'll be breakthroughs for your glory. Thank you. We love you. We bless you. We praise you this day. This is the day you've made. We will rejoice, be glad in it. Now, Lord, cleanse my heart and cleanse us of every sin, And Father God, may Jesus have the preeminence. May you be high lifted up. We honor you today. We bless you today. When all said and done, we'll say, to God be the glory. Great things he's done. I pray blessings on families, blessings on marriages, blessings, Father, on children and grandchildren. And we just give you praise again because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Adversity turned into victory. Are some of you going through some hard times now and you're wondering what God is up to? If you'll notice in verses 12 through verses 16, and you'll notice, first of all, that we need to beware of adversity with expectancy. We should expect it. That's the first learning lesson that we can see from this particular account. Expect adversity. It should not come by surprise, although it does, and there's some of us today that we've been taken by surprise. We weren't counting on that thing to happen. It's been a setback for us, but you know a setback can become a setup for a comeback. And so notice, number one, that beware of adversity with expectancy. And that's found, again, verses 12 through verse number 16. And here's what the Lord put on my heart to share with you today about this matter of beware of adversity with expectancy. First of all, I want you to notice Isaac. Look at him now. Can you see him? He's been through a famine. He's exercised faith in God. Now he's got a family of Rebekah. The children aren't mentioned at this point. However, they are mentioned over in chapter 25, Esau and Jacob. But at this point, he's got a family. Now he's facing a situation of adversity. He's being blessed of God. How many really want to be blessed of God these days? He is being blessed of God. You see, the Word of God teaches us here that his flocks are flourishing. His herds are multiplying by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. His cattle are being catapulted. He is being favored by God. God's smiling on Isaac. God's blessing him. I don't know if there's anybody here that would say, you know, I sure want the blessings of God on my life. I sure would like to have the favor of God on my life. I sure want heaven to open up and glory to fill my soul. I believe you're here today and you're hungry for God's blessing. You're thirsty for God's blessing. You're longing for God to open up his mighty storehouse of heaven and bless you, not just materially, mind you, but spiritually as well. And who would agree with me today that sometimes spiritual blessings are far better than material blessings? Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the blessings of God spiritually supersede material blessings. Nonetheless, Isaac is being blessed of God. God's using him. God's hands on him. But can I tell you something? Where there's blessings, you better look out for a battle. Can you hear me? I said, where there's blessings, there's going to come a battle. How do I know that? If you look at the text, you'll see. Look over here in verse number 14. He had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And look what happens. The Philistines envied him. What does that mean? It means they were jealous of him. It means they did not like the blessings of God on Isaac. Can I tell you this? If you're around this old lost world of ours, Jesus said we're to be salt. Guess what salt does when it gets in a cut? It begins to sting. If you are a child of God, this old world is not going to be a friend of God's grace. No wonder they're going to shun you. No wonder they're going to ostracize you. No wonder they're going to reject you. They rejected Jesus. Is there anybody here that feels rejected, even in your own family? Maybe you today have recognized that people are jealous of you. They see the blessings of God on your life. They see you come to church on Sunday. They understand you have a Bible and you read your Bible. They know you as a praying man, as a praying woman, and therefore you sense their cold shoulder. Well, guess what? Where the blessings come, the battles come too. That's all right, though. The devil's not happy when we serve God. But you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. It doesn't matter matter if the devil's not happy or not. You see, he wants us to think that if we don't serve God, he's going to be our friend. How many know that the devil's a liar? Come on, talk to me. How many know that the devil will make you think that you're not going to go through hardship and adversity, but at the end, he will stab you in your back. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He is a dirty devil, and he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Is there anybody here that says, you know, I'm going through troubles and trials and adversity. I'm trying to serve God. I want to really make a difference, and I want to live godly in Christ Jesus. But it seemed like the more I live godly in Christ Jesus, it seemed like the more I go on for prayer and for the study of God's word, it seemed like all the imps of hell are coming against me. Hey, that's to be expected. Beware of adversity with expectancy. Battles are going to come. How many know the battle is the Lord's, oh glory be to God. We're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Can I get an amen? From victory. Did you catch that? Do you understand what I just mentioned? We are not fighting for victory. Jesus has won the battle. He stripped and spoiled principalities and powers. And we just need to understand he's the captain of our salvation. He is our conquering king. He's not defeated. He's not the victim. He's still sovereignly, providentially controlling everything by his mighty power. I'm glad we've got a God like that. Amen. Oh, bless his holy name. We ought to praise God and shout the victory even this morning, saying, hallelujah, Lord, you're in control. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. You got a plan for me. You got a purpose for me. You got a will for me. I am the clay and you are the potter. Mold me and make me. Carry me through the storms. Be with me, Jesus, when I face adversity. Oh, he said, I won't leave you nor forsake you. The battles will come. Can I remind you, my beloved friend? David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 34, 19. Can I tell you again? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and 12 and said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as some strange thing that happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of God and glory does rest upon you. Verse 16 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of his soul unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You see, adversity is going to come. We are meant to weather the storm. God's refining us. Listen to me. You're going through a storm now. You're going through a furnace now. You're facing some adversity now. You can't figure out why and what God's up to. Let me remind you. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 3, and he said this, tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience. Romans 5:3, that word experience means dakame. The word is dakame. God's building character in us. When we go through hardships, when we face troubles and trials, God's refining us. He is making us more like his son. And I say hallelujah. Oh yeah, the troubles and the trials are going to come. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, James reminds us, consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Can I tell you something, speaking of adversity? This trip to Trinidad just a couple of weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. Boy, I tell you, the blessings came, but the battles came too. And I said, this is birthed out of that particular experience. Oh my, just a few days before I was getting ready to go on this trip, boy, the devil unleashed his dirty assault and attack on me and even the loved ones around me. I could not actually believe what was happening other than this has got to be the work of Satan. How many know that if the devil can get to you, he'll do it through your family? Let me see your hand. He doesn't care who he uses. He don't care who you are, who I am. If he can set you back, if he can knock you out, if he can get you somehow with a nonchalant attitude, not caring about the work of God and saying, you know what, it's more difficult to serve God than it is not serving God. That is a devil's lie. But wait a minute. Not only did I face even my own loved ones, some in inner circles, I saw that it was the enemy, the demons of hell. The night before I was getting ready to go on Wednesday, I got a call, and one of our dearest ladies in all the world, sweet lady, Sister Jenny Mason, had a stroke. This was on the night before I'm getting ready to fly out of the country. How many know that when you fly out of the country, you don't have cell pickup? Once you leave Miami, Florida, and once you're flying over that ocean and you land in Trinidad, you can forget it as far as a cell signal. You say, so what, Brother Pastor? I'd have thrown the phone out anyway in the water, amen? Well, you might say that, but as a pastor, you're not able to do that. I mean, you can if you want to, but being on call 24/7, it's not like you punch out on Friday and punch back in on Monday. It's just 24/7 all the time. And certainly, it's a joy to serve the Lord. I wouldn't take anything less than heaven's best. But my point is this. Here is one of our dearest ladies, the night before I'm getting ready to go. Needless to say, Sister Jenny, don't know if she had a stroke or whatever was going on. But I said, Lord, what you have me to do? I was kind of torn between, should I stay, should I not? Lord, are you going to take her? Are you going to, I didn't know. I'm telling you, I was going through a time of adversity. And then the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And this is what the Lord quickened in my heart. When I visit Sister Jenny, she'd tell me, she said, Brother Randy, I'd tell her about sharing and revival meetings and such, and she'd say, my, just keep preaching the gospel. Keep spreading the word of God. Aren't you glad that people understand the importance of God's work? Amen. Hallelujah. I can't tell you enough how that meant to me. And hearing her say that to me over and over again, I said, Lord, that's your will. I know that she'd want me to go and the family would want me to go. And I talked with the family. And yet at the same time, understanding that God's in control. And I didn't know what may entail. But yet by faith, stepping out the next day and launching out, Beth and I, into this mission trip. Adversity. Can I tell you what else happened to me? On the way to the airport, we're sitting there and I'm driving down to the airport and we're talking and laughing and just having a good time. Deanna and Beth and I, Deanna took us to the airport. Next thing you know, Brother Pastor's in the international lane. Next thing you know, I'm thinking as we're talking and praying and so much is going on in my mind and I'm, you know, packing all your clothes, thinking all the stuff you got to do and stuff. Anyway, and so I'm in the international lane, and I can't get out of the international lane. How many have been to the airport lately? I'm thinking, well, let's see, that's Trinidad. I'm going out of the, I should have done my homework. But anyway, bottom line is, once I got in the international lane, it carried me down to the airport. I have to fly. We're flying out at 2:30. I'm looking at my watch. I'm riding aimlessly around in the airport and not a happy camper. Can I get it? Amen. But anyway, and it's 1:00 and they want you to be at the airport 2 hours before your flight takes off. I'm wondering, Lord, I made this error. I've turned in the wrong place. And how many know that you just don't turn around downtown Atlanta? You make one wrong turn and you heading to Kalamazoo. Can I get it? Amen. I mean, down there with A-285 and I-85 and man, airplanes coming in. Anyway, long story short, we drive up at the door. Praise God. God allowed us to get back in the right place. And we drive up to the front door. And it's about 1:10, 1:20, somewhere around there. The plane's supposed to take off here. Keep in mind, I grab my luggage. I go running to the airport. I've done that before. Amen. Y'all got to pray for Brother Pastor. I'll tell you what. You talk about adversity. It reminded me of the story of that little boy, 3 years old, that was cutting up in the church. He was just misbehaving, and his daddy saw what he was doing and told him to stop. And anyway, the daddy says, all right, son, I'm going to have to take you out if you don't do right and start behaving. By that time, the daddy picked up the little boy and started walking out the back door. How many know that's not good? And as he's carrying the little boy out the back door, the boy at the very back door stops, lifts up his hands and says, "Y'all pray for me." I'll tell you what, I need you to pray for me. Next time I found a plane, pray for me. But oh, listen, I mean, the adversity begins to complicate and multiply and just continue. I said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" Actually, let me go back a little further. This mission trip, the opportunity, the door swung open in May. The pastor called me. He asked me to go last year, but it just didn't work out. And he called in May. He said, "Can you come in October?" I said, "Let me pray about it, Brother Pastor, Pastor Robert." And so began to pray about it. And he said, so I began to pray and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe it's your will." How many know that it costs to fly on an airplane? How many know it costs to go from one country to another country? I said, "Lord, where you guide, you provide." How many believe that where God guides, he provides? Hallelujah. Where God leads, bless his holy name, he provides. Let me tell you what God did. I'm just saying this, to God be the glory. We can trust God. Adversity can be turned into victory. Listen what God did. I had the privilege of preaching a revival meeting in July. Meanwhile, I said, "Lord, I don't know where the resources are going to come from, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you." And meanwhile, the door for our daughter to go as well opened up as well. Well, I preached a revival meeting down in Florida. And normally, listen to me, beloved, normally going to camp meetings and other places, and I'm not saying this to try to draw attention, but I'm just telling you how good God is. Normally, I just pay my way. I pay the expenses of gas and motel costs and so forth and so on. And that's what the Lord puts on my heart to do, to be a blessing to other churches and camp meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But this particular church said, "Pastor, we want to give you a love offering." Preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And they said, "We want to give you a love offering." Well, how many know that I wasn't going to refuse a love offering? Amen. I said, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." And the guess what happened? Guess what happened? I'm just telling you this. I prayed, "Lord, should I say this? It doesn't mind if people misunderstand me or not. You know my motives, Lord. The reason I'm sharing this, to tell how good you are, how faithful." How many believe that God is faithful? Glory be to his name. I could have a shouting spell right there. Guess what the church gave as a love offering? One man in the church, he's a successful businessman. He lives over in Nigeria. The church gave a certain amount as a love offering, traveling about 1,000 miles close to it there and back. And the man added some cash money. The tickets of this particular plane trip cost exactly within $7 of what this church gave as a love offering. Two tickets. Is that a blessing from God? Hallelujah. Glory, 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 Lord. I'm telling you, beware of adversity with expectancy. But there's a second learning lesson we can learn from this particular account. And it's this, namely, be determined, be determined, be determined in adversity with consistency. That is, be perseveringly. Isaac was. Look at him now. Watch Isaac. Can you see him now? You see, here's the deal. Isaac had gone back to his daddy's wells and they had been covered up. How many know that water, hear me, water was a precious commodity back then. I mean, they traveled from one place to another place. He has a lot of cattle. He has a lot of sheep. He's got a lot of servants. He's got a family. It's not like they're living in the Holiday Inn or Hampton Inn. They're stopping and they stop a certain place, Gear, and he does not have any water. That's a top priority, to get water. So get that in your mind. Now, keep this in your mind as well. When they're digging for this well, they don't have these cranes, and they don't have this hydraulic equipment that we've got today. I don't know how long it takes to dig a well. Some of you men know how long it takes to dig a well. I don't really know, maybe a day or two or something like that. But can you imagine them digging a well? Well, guess what happens? They dig it. This one well had been covered up, and they start digging this well. I'm talking about persevering in adversity. I'm talking about not giving up. I'm talking about not quitting. They earth this one well called Esek, and these Philistines said, that's ours, that's our well, you can't have that. Well, what did Isaac do? Did he whine? Did he throw down a shovel and say, I quit, and we dug it and we spent all this time and now you want this well? No, he just went and dug another well. He was digging another well, he and his men. And the word Esek, by the way, means quarrel. They were quarreling over that well. Listen, learn this lesson. When you're going through an adverse time, times of adversity, thanks be to God that can be turned into victory. They are digging another well now. Look at them. Can you see them in your mind's eye? They're digging another well. Guess what their name is? Sitna. Sitna. Well, what does Sitna mean? It means, not only is it a time of quarrel, but a time of hatred. That's what the word Sitna means. Now, they dug two wells, and the Philistines has come in and claimed those two wells as their own. Is anybody going through some stuff right now? You say, man, it seemed like I just keep working harder, and I just keep on doing more, and every time I take one step forward, it seems like I'm taking two steps back. Watch Isaac. He's not giving up. He's not going to quit. He's not going to throw down his shovel and say, these Philistines, I'm tired of them. He just keeps on digging another well. Guess what? They find another well. It's the third well. They call it Rehoboth. The word Rehoboth means plenty of water. Again, water, that need for water, it was necessary. He never quit. He kept digging, and finally they found this well called Rehoboth. And then finally, the latter part of the chapter, they dig another well which has to do with an oath, Beersheba. And here's the point. The point is this. When you're going through a time of adversity, it's easy to want to quit. Some of you today, you say, man, I'm tired of the school. I can't graduate. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out. I don't know if I'm ever going to get a good job. My children aren't going to change. My grandchildren, they're still doing the same old, and I just don't see a breakthrough. I'm trying to serve God. I want to serve God. My marriage is on the rocks. We're just not communicating. We're just not compatible, it seems. I don't see anything in the Word of God that says compatible, by the way. It's complementary, by the way. But you're going through a time of adversity. Maybe you've had some type of a certain situation that happened that you can't control. Well, I've got good news for you. Adversity can be turned into victory. You know what happened as we're flying on the plane? And some of you are going through some adversity today. As we're flying on the plane, we take off from Atlanta. Guess what happens? Beth gets sick. How many have ever been sick on an airplane? She looks out the window and she just keeps looking out, and we just keep going up higher and higher. Man, you go through the clouds. I said, Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. We just going higher and higher and higher. And she's getting sicker and sicker and sicker. We just took off from Atlanta, and I'm looking at her, and she's white as a sheet. She's laying her head back. I'm thinking, Lord, you got to put us through this. But God did. God did. We arrived over in Trinidad and went through customs and immigration. I don't know if you've gone to a third world country, but it's not like in America. You just don't walk through the line and say, here's my passport, let me go. There's lines and lines. You know, about like Walmart, amen? A little bit worse than Walmart. But there are lines and lines of people, and you stand in line. Finally, it's 11:30 at night. We're still at the airport over in Trinidad, and we still hadn't gone through customs and immigrations. I mean, they scrutinize. They look at you and say, what are you here in the country? What are you going to be doing? And they get all of your information, et cetera, et cetera. They can keep you back, by the way. But here's the point. We're at an airport. I don't know anybody here. In fact, I don't even know who's going to pick us up at the airport. The pastor, Pastor Robert, had an emergency funeral he had to attend. And he said, one of our men's going to pick you up at the airport. Here we've traveled all day long. We're at the airport in Trinidad. I don't have any idea. We got our baggage. We got our luggage. We've hauled it to the airport. And I have no idea who's going to pick us up at the airport. I'm talking about adversity. But how many know that I was happy when a young man showed up and he had a smile on his face. He said, Pastor Randy, glad to have you. He'd been there 2 hours at the airport waiting for us. And to top it all off, we got to eat at KFC. Man, that was good. He paid for our supper. Boy, don't you know I was happy then. But here's the point. We went to finally, from the airport, we drove an hour And by the way, I wouldn't recommend getting in the car with the truck with this man. I said, brother, how fast are you going? He looked and laughed at me. He said, all Americans ask me the same thing. I said, slow down, man. No, I love this dear brother, Brother Ralph, a precious brother. He said, this is his ministry, to pick up missionaries at the airport. He travels an hour there, an hour back, and been doing it for years. He loves to be a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? A man said, this is my ministry, to come. He and his wife, Sherry, came and picked us up, and sweet spirit of loving. My, they just roll out the red carpet when you go to a place like this. But anyway, we got to the final destination, the place where we were to stay. It's 1:30 in the morning. 1:30 in the morning. And they said, well, Pastor, you're going to be preaching in the morning. I said, well, praise God. I'm looking forward to it. And so we tried to settle down. Anybody know what I mean? When you're going to a different place, a strange place, and you kind of have to get your bearings in place. You know what I mean? You're in a strange place, different place. Well, we finally settled out. It was probably about 2 o'clock. 5 o'clock, well, it was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, I heard this. Woof, 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 woof. We noticed 2 dogs out there in the pen. They were in the fence. And big dogs, man, these were mean dogs. They said, I asked them, would they bite? And they said, I don't know. Come on in the gate. Let's find out. I said, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. But they start barking first thing in the morning. It gets light over there about 5 o'clock, and I hear these dogs barking. It's right by my window. The window, you could not even close it all. It's cracked. How many know you can hear every sound outside the window? I said, let's see, I hear one dog. I hear 2 dogs. I hear a 3rd dog. I know I only counted 2 last night. There's a 3rd dog I hear barking. And so I get up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours of sleep, and going to preach that morning. The next morning, same thing, right at the crack of dawn, right at the early morning, I hear these dogs barking, 3 of them. And I said, now I'm going to find out. I only saw 2 out in that pen. Guess what I discovered? When I walked into this place downstairs from where we were staying, it's in a fence area because of the situation like here in America. I counted the 2 dogs, and guess what? There was a parrot, a talking parrot. I saw this talking parrot that was mimicking a dog barking. God being my witness, I wanted to wring that parrot's neck. Hey, man, I could have wrung its neck. I said, man, but you know what? It's amazing when you stay after a night or 2, you get used to all the sounds and the strange stuff going on. What I'm saying this, adversity leads to a victory. Now, on Friday morning, I get a call. We've only been there a little over 24 hours. And we got there late, early Thursday morning. And then Friday morning, 7:30 in the morning, I get this call. I'm talking about adversity. I'm talking about a message that God has birthed out of this situation. I get a call. And you know what the call was? Pastor came and knocked on the door. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Randy, your wife's on the phone. I said, Sister Jenny passed away. He said, yes, I think she has. All right, I'm saying this, God's in control. How many know God's in control? But when you're way 2,000 miles away from home, no cell phone use, and it's not like you can just all of a sudden pick up and I'm saying, God, what would you have me to do? How would you, what am I to do, Lord? I'm just sharing some personal experiences, how good God is in times of adversity. And so I began to pray and said, Lord, what would you have us to do? And we began to call and talk with the family. And how many know that when you're in a third world country like that, you're at the mercies of the airlines? You can't just say, well, I want a flight here and I want a flight here. A lot of the flights have already filled up. I mean, a lot of the flights, you don't just say when you want to go. I mean, it's a learning process for me. I'm just talking about adversity, going through this. And I'm saying, Lord, you know I want to be back home. But God, you got me here. What am I to do? And God is so good and God is so faithful. Be determined in adversity to be consistent with consistency and with perseveringly. Well, I called the airline and said, American Airlines, I told them the situation, the problem. And they said, well, sir, hold on. They put me on a hold. And anyway, long story short, they found a flight that would come on Monday morning. They said, that's the first flight you can get. I said, well, I'll take it. That's what I need. And listen now, I'm not saying this for any other reason, but let you know what adversity I was facing there. But God is so good. Glory be to his name. I said, all right, that sounds good. But you know what? There's quite a, when you have to change. Have you ever been somewhere? Has anybody here ever had to change your airline ticket and you just don't snap your fingers. You just don't. And furthermore, I said, all right, I'm just being vulnerable with y'all today. God knows my motives. It's the only reason I'm sharing this. I'm being transparent with you, how I felt, what I was going through, and what God did. I said, well, how much is it going to cost? You know what they told me? American dollars, $800 to fly back early, in addition to the cost of flying there. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know you're in control. Hallelujah. You are in control. I didn't have a panic attack. I didn't. God was so good. God held us steady. How many know that I had to call Deanna? Can I see your hand? Amen. And say, anyway, we had to rob Peter to pay Paul. But anyway, God is so good. But wait a minute. That's not the end of the story. I finally got a card. I've not had a card all my life. I finally got this about 2 years ago. It's a debit card / credit card. I didn't want one, amen? But I finally ended up having to get one. And so I'm down there and I'm saying, all right, let's see. I've got to make this transaction. I've got to get this ready, set up, because I've got to be at the funeral home on Monday night by 6 o'clock. So I give them my card number, right? Everything's fine, right? It goes through, right? No, wrong. It doesn't go through. I call on Friday, it doesn't go through. How many know that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are a holiday? Let me see your hand. Holiday, holiday. Nobody working. You better get this stuff done ASAP. You understand? And so I say, well, I called, and they said, call back in 2 hours. Your card didn't go through. Well, bless the Lord. Adversity, adversity, adversity. How many know that I was praying and saying, God, you're in control. And so then I call back on Friday afternoon. They said, sir, we're working on your stuff right now. They don't get in a hurry in Trinidad, amen? Life is different. Life slows down there compared to America. Well, I call on Saturday. I call the airlines on Saturday. And I said, please send me a confirmation. I need a confirmation that everything's gone through. They said, sir, we're working on your situation right now. Well, I call on Sunday. I've got to fly out on Monday. Got to be at the airport at 3 o'clock on Monday. I've got to be back in Monticello at 6 o'clock, amen, on Monday night. I'm just telling you, adversity, and God is so good. Well, on Sunday I called, and the lady said, sir, we know who you are. We know where you're going, and your confirmation has gone through. And I said, well, why hadn't I received that in an email? She said, sir, is everything gone through? And I said, well, hallelujah, glory. I just want to make sure when I show up at the airport, everything's okay at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, Monday morning, still no confirmation, but I go to the airport, dragging the luggage and trusting God. Got to the counter at the American Airlines, 4 o'clock in the morning. And handed him my passport and said, I'm scheduled to reschedule to fly out. She looked at my account, said, sir, your card has not gone through. I said, do what? She said, your card has not gone through. Now, what would you do? I said, that sure is a long swim back home, amen. And there's sharks in the water too. But if I have to swim, bless God, I'm going to swim. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to get back home. Well, anyway, long story short, unbeknownst to me, I'm just being vulnerable, folks. I know y'all never make mistakes like Brother Pastor does. Guess what? This has to be set up for international use. And it wasn't set up for international use. I had no idea. I had no idea there was any such thing as international use. I just need to get back home. But let me tell you what God did. God is good. Glory be to his name. And had it not been for the pastor being with us, pastor said, I'm going to go with you to the airport. Had he not have gone with us, we'd still be in Trinidad, amen? Not a happy camper. He said, here's my card, take it. And they looked at his card and said, bless God, it works. And so we got on the airplane and we came back and was at the visitation at about 6:15, straight from the airport. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? I said, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Glory, 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 glory. Well, last but not least, there's a third lesson we can learn from adversity that can be turned into victory. We all face adversity. And it's this. Be glad. Not only beware of adversity, with expectancy. Expect adversity. Expect it. There are going to be challenges. You're facing challenges. But in the midst of it, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw the shovel away. Isaac kept digging a well until finally he had one flowing with water. And then last but not least, and I'll be done in just a moment, be glad in adversity because of your testimony. I want you to see this. Genesis 26, verse 27. You got to see this. You see, Isaac was being watched. People watch us when we're going through hard times. Look at chapter 26 and look over there in verse number 27 and 28. Look at this. You've got to see this. Isaac said unto them, he had just met with them. He said, wherefore have you come, seeing that you hate me? Isaac had just dug some wells. Abimelech and Philistines, they had told him to get up, get out of the land. We don't like you. They were jealous of him. But look what verse 28 says. Don't miss it now. And they said, we, what? Somebody help me out. We saw certainly that what? The Lord was with you. Woo! The Lord was with you. God was with you. We saw the hand of God. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us. I want you to know, listen to me, when you go through adversity, when you face hard times, when you're in a crisis, others are watching you. They're watching me. And they can see the glory of God. They can see God working in your life. Doesn't that bless you? Your testimony. Be glad in adversity because of your testimony. The Philistines said, there's something different about this man. He's not throwing the shovel down. He's not getting angry. He's not cussing. He's not fussing. He's not threatening to kill every one of us. He's just digging a new well. There's something different about his God. This old world needs to see a difference in your life and my life. Amen? That's what's going to convince them. It's not the good times. It's not on the mountains. It always makes a difference. It's sometimes when you are in a time of adversity that the world takes note and says, what you got, I want. Amen? Praise the Lord.